morning, I'd like to talk a little bit about the upcoming Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah. To us, I believe Rosh Hashanah primarily comes along as a Yom Hadin. That's how we perceive it. We're being judged. The next Shem is coming Shabbos. The entire world is being judged. And the first question I'd like to pose is that if you look in the Torah, there's not a mention of the fact that the Echolach, Chodesh HaShvi, on Rosh Hashanah, that the world is being judged. All it says in the Torah, in three passages that Rosh Hashanah mentioned, is Yom Tzrua Yeh Lachem Zichron Yom Tzrua, the day of blowing the shofar, mitzvah to blow the shofar in the Torah. But it doesn't say on Yom Kippur, it says to be honest, Yechatra Aleich, and it says Kavarat Avonis. But Rosh Hashanah, we're not told in the Torah anywhere that it's a Yom Adin. So why did blaring a mission when the Chayyar Ta'at and Rosh Hashanah is a very chosher important mitzvah, but you know, it occurs at one specific time during the day, but the whole mahut of the day seems to be Yom Adin, and that's not mentioned in the Torah at all. In Tehillim, we do find Tikkun HaChodesh Shofar Baketer Yom Chageinu is a chag shachodesh miskas by Rosh Hashanah, and it says that Chayk Leisraelu the Gemara Dashon Mishvat Leilekei Yaakov. But in the Torah, it's not mentioned. Of course, the Mishnah teaches us called by Olam Ovim from Kizvei Moroi. That's question number one. The second question is on the actual name Rosh Hashanah. What's the significance of the name Rosh Hashanah? Is it merely a Hebrew translation of New Year's Day? Rosh Hashanah would imply that this day impacts the entire year. In what way is the Rosh Hashanah the Rosh indeed of the coming year? And thirdly, the tefillah, which the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah were mistaken for us to daven on Rosh Hashanah, this is something which I'm sure you've all heard before and it's well known, but it's puzzling nonetheless. If you ask me what would be a more appropriate tefillah for Chazal to be mistaken on the day of judgment, when everyone is being judged for their health and their welfare and their livelihood, the weekday tefillah, where we say, Atochein El Olam Da'af, give us wisdom, forgive our sins, see our affliction, heal us, give us Tanosa, Borifarein, all these things we ask for, that is what when you're standing before a judge, when you're standing and your future is being judged, those are the things you should request. But instead, from the very beginning, the Chazan gives a shout, HaMelech, and then we go on to the actual Amida, where all we can ask is, culminating in the Simrechat Hashem Levadecho. We then move on to Musaf, where we recite 10 Sukkim of Malchios. So the focus is on Malchus, and that Rabbi Shalom should be sovereign over us, over the entire world, and nary a mention of our own personal needs and what we need. In fact, it's well known, the Zohar HaKadosh says that people sovchin kekalbin, have, all they can do is on Rosh Hashanah ask for their own needs, and that's inappropriate. I would have thought that if anything it's detracting from the severity of the dinner. I was speaking to somebody the other day about some sort of a parking fine that he had, and he was telling me perhaps he'll have to go to court. He said, oh no, you know, I've never been to court and I don't want to go to court. So going to court, which we're all going to be judged on Rosh Hashanah, is a serious thing. I'm going to have to take it seriously. I want us to plead. And yet, we come to Rosh Hashanah and we don't mention anything about the court case and about what we need. Okay, we do in Zichronos and in other places, but the focus of the tefillah, the main bracha and tzoros, is about the simloich and the simloich, and nothing is all to do with what we need. So why would Chazal, why did they establish it like that? So I'd like to repeat a couple of mahalchim. Firstly, a mahalach I saw in the Shmuz from Rafael Salomon, who quotes a Yalkut Shimoni in Tehillim, capital Kuf Beis, on the capital Tzillar Onichiyata. So the prophet in Tehillim says over there, Pono el Tzillach Ta'aror, Velevoza est Tzillosa. Hashem turns to the Tzillah of the solitary person and does not despise their Tzillah. So the Yalkut Shimoni says, Klapideret, Achoinim Omru. This is said in reference to the later generations. where Ein Lanu, we won't have Loi Mikdosh, Loi Kohen, Loi Novi. All we will have is the tefillah of Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaKippurim. And in reference to that, David HaMelech says, Hashem should turn to those tefillahs va'altiv ve'et tefillosom. And Matthew poses the question of why does the Medrash say all we will have is the tefillah of Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaKippurim? I mean, yes, we daven Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaKippurim, we daven 3 times a day. Every single day we davening. Why does the Medrash say that Chol al-tefillah ta'ara refers specifically to the tefillah of Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaKippurim? So he quotes, in order to explain this, a piece of Rav Chaim Volozhiner in Nefesh HaChaim, in Sha'ar Beis, Perek Yud Aleph. The Nefesh HaChaim over there is referring to one's daily tefillah. He's going on a pasuk in Yoel, Ba'ashem Nosan Cheloi, Lifnei Cheloi, which is a reference to Hashem's acceptance of our tefillah, and the term used by Yoel HaNovi is Lifnei Cheloi, before his army, that when Yidin daven, they are considered Hashem's army. So the Nefesh HaChaim, right, I'll just read out certain bits. He says, Romav Zeho Ikra Gobel Shalim Yatzila, this alludes to a great matter in Tzila. Sheklau Kavonoso Hu, by the way, before I go off, a lot of what I'll be saying, I must admit, is not something which perhaps we're on the Madrega on. But I'm nevertheless repeating it because I think it's important to know what one's Tzila should be focused on. The Nefesh HaChaim says, the purpose of Tzila is L'chavan rak l'hoisiv koyach to Kedusha. The purpose of Tzila should be to add koyach to Kedusha. And he says, K'moish ha'ishm an shachayah, like a soldier. Mashrech kol enyon of the tzorech ha'atwa minegad. He throws all his personal issues, puts them to the side. U'moitza nashay b'sina rak ha'koyt ha'melech. And he's fighting solely in order to establish the king's shiyasi keser emruch sho'oysa medina v'sinotei ma'ochisoy. Kein ro yimo oin la odom ayosh alokin kol kavanosa v'tem achshavta v'tzilote rak l'hoite teis kerf v'ilom ha'kadreshim. A person should focus his entire tefillah on giving koyach to the Malkus Shemaim. And he says, v'yineinu ha'royet, and we indeed see benusach tefillah Rosh Hashanah, sh'nusud me'royshe ad soifah rak ha'koyim ha'chusa yisborach, sh'tz'ale kebat chilo. So he says, v'gam nusach tefillah kol ha'shanah, even the nusach of the tefillah entire, ad sh'tzit sh'tzit ha'mirah, Rubik Kula Musuda and Yonatar Chatzin, or it seems that we're asking for our own request. But Boru Lucho Mevin, he says, Shalakibnu Ashik Nesagdela Alanirim Shute Pershan Yisrael. That wasn't the intention. The intention was to daven for Kvoid Machus Yisrael. So he says an interesting thing, the Nefesh HaChaim. He says that in fact, when we daven every single day, what we're really davening for is Kvoid Machus Yisrael. No difference between the Yom Rosh Hashanah, except that the format is different. Here we say, give me Panosa. What we mean is Kvod Machlus Yisporach, and Rosh Hashanah we say the similar from what we mean is Kvod Machlus Yisporach, but in fact the tachlis of both tefillos is identical, in which case the question rises, so why indeed does Chazal change the format if the underlying intention is the same? So Matthew explains the relationship between the tefillah of Rosh Hashanah and the tefillah of the entire year with the Moshul, that there was a wealthy prince, a wealthy minister who owned a building franchise where he lived. All building materials were supplied by him. He was a very benevolent gentleman, and he fostered, adopted a child who he brought up in his own home and gave him all his knowledge, taught him the tools of the trade. And when this child became an adult, he was so grateful to his benefactor that he said, he turned to him and he said, you know, I'd like to build you a palace. For all that you've done for me, I'd like to build you a palace. And the benefactor was delighted, and he said, fine, no problem, you know exactly where all my materials lie, which warehouses you need to go to. Go, take all the materials that you need in order to build me this palace. And this young man goes along, and immediately the foreman comes, and he doesn't have an official invoice or anything. He comes with a little handwritten list, and the foreman's coming and running around. He says, I want some of this, and I need some of that. And he's doing everything he can for him. And the other socherim who are there, purchasing their stuff, they sort of wonder what's going on, why is he paying so much attention, why is he giving me everything he needs? And moreover, the gentleman leaves with all that he needs, and he doesn't pay. Doesn't need a card. He just walks out. And they go to the foreman and they say, what's going on? So he says, don't you know, this fellow is the son of the owner of the entire business, and he's getting all these materials together in order to build the owner a beautiful palace. That's why I'm paying him so much attention. That's why I don't ask him for any payment. So Rav Matil said that is, in fact, the underlying intention of everything that we ask for ourselves the entire year. And the truth of the matter is that although everyone needs health and needs panosa and needs shalom bayis, but the truth of the matter is, if you ask somebody deep down, what do you need these things for? I need these things for so I should be able to be mechanech my children, I should be able to do the mitzvah, I should be able to live a life in accordance with the way the Bnei Shalom wants us to live a life. I'm not buying, I don't need these things to cruise the Caribbean. The underlying intention of every person's tefillah is really tzed malchus yisborach. And that's what the Nefesh HaChaim is revealing to us over here. The tefillah of Rosh Hashanah begin the year by setting the tone for the tefillah of the entire year. We get up in Rosh Hashanah and we say, HaMelech! V'simarech ato Hashem levadecho. What we as Yidin really want to achieve in this world is Mesakein Olam, the mouth of Shakai, we'll talk about that more shortly. What we want to achieve is that your kingdom should be revealed in this world, and to do what we can to serve the Rebbeinu Shlomo. And to that end, with the rest of the year, all the things that we will be requesting, we will be requesting for this purpose. And that's why it's Rosh Hashanah, because it is the beginning of the year as far as our tefillah are concerned, in setting the tone for what our tefillah of the entire year are meant for. It's well known, we say Zochreinu L'chaim, Melech Ofit V'chaim, V'choseinu V'seif V'chaim, L'man Cho Elohim Chaim. The things we request are in order to better serve the Rebbeinu Shalom. The Gaon says, Ani L'doidi, V'doidi Li, he says this is the intention, Ani L'doidi, all I need for myself, all my requests are L'doidi, for my beloved, in order to be able to better serve the Rebbeinu Shalom. So when the Rebbeinu Shalom hears on Rosh Hashanah that is what we are governing for, and that is really what we really want, so then V'dodi Li, like the poor man giving everything he can to this young man, the Rebbeinu Shalom gives us all our requests, because we've set the tone and the basis on which we're basing all our tefillah, that we want it in order to best serve the Rebbeinu Shalom. And that's why, so that will answer the second and third question that we pose, that's the relation between tefillah of Rosh Hashanah and Italia, and that is why Chazal established the tefillah specifically on Malchus Shemayim, because it's on that basis that we go on to ask all our requests the entire year. To come up to Yafit Shemayim, that's what Yafit Shemayim means. Pono tefillah fa'aror, the Rebbeinu Shalom turns to tefillah of Rosh Hashanah Yom HaKippurim specifically, i.e. he turns to those tefillah as proving that those are the intention of our tefillah the entire year, and that with those tefillah that are the basis of him answering of the Levavah's tefillah. That is how Amasiyo explains the relationship between the tefillah of Rosh Hashanah and the tefillah of the entire year. But I'd like to just maybe go a little bit deeper and repeat to you a shtickel of the Sefer Sifte Chaim from Rav Chaim Friedlander, who goes further to clarify the first question that we raised, which is the relationship between Yom HaDin and the blowing of the shofar, and in fact being mamlech of Rabbeinu Shalom, which we just talked about, and how all that bears a relationship to it being a Yom HaDin. He quotes the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Tezayin, where it's much more from that Gemara, we all know the saying of Chazal, Imru l'fonai malchiyos, k'vish tam lichuni aleichem. And it's much more from that Gemara, that the saying of malchiyos, and in fact it's not the saying, it's not the lip service, it's the k'vish tam lichuni aleichem, that's the main idea, that is actually an eitzah in order to have a good judgment. How is it mashmah a Gemara? Because the Gemara over there says a few things. Tanya the Gemara says, Omer Yudim Shimon Rekiva, Mifnei Ma Omer Torah Haviyu Oimer BePesach. Why does the Torah tell us to bring the Oimer on Pesach? Mifnei Shah Pesach Zman Tzvul, because Pesach is a time when the Tzvul is growing. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Haviyu Lefonai Oimer BePesach, Kidei Shetzvoch Chem Tzvul Shebesodos. Bring me the Oimer, and through that, through this covenant of union up to me with this covenant Oimer, I will bless the tour in the field. And similarly, Mifnei Amar Matero, Havi Shtei Alechem Ba'atzeres, because Atzeres is Man Peres Ha'ilon, Havi Lepon Shtei Alechem Ba'atzeres, Ve'esh Yisbroch Lechem Peres Ha'ilon. Similarly, the Gemara says, why this is Ma'an B'chad? Because it's the time of Gishmei Shana. And the Brisa concludes, Ve'imru Lepon Ha'ad Rosh Hashanah Malchi, Zecherin Shevrus, Malchi Eskeish Tam Nechuni Alechem, Zecherin Eskeish Yal Zecherin Eskeish Lepon Ha'ad Teva, Obameh B'Shevrus. So the sequence of advice seems to suggest, like by Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot, the korbanos we bring are there in order to, that we should benefit, so to speak, and gain from the bracha that Rosh Hashanah will send in our farming activities. So too, say before me Malchias, and then I will judge you l'tova. So how does the saying of Malchias, it's all very nice that that's the intention of our tefillah, but how does that get us a good judgment? So I hope you stay with me for the next few minutes. We'll try and explain, repeat you what the Chizuk Chaim says. And he builds it stage by stage. He begins as follows. We all know that Rosh Hashanah falling on Aleph Tishri is Hayoy Haras Olam. Of course, that's not literal, because the world was created on Chosei Elul, and Rosh Hashanah would be the day of creation of man, who is the Tachlis of the world. And of course, there's a machlokes whether the whole world was created in Tishri or in Nisan. But first explains that even though Halach, we actually Tachkin, it was created in Nisan, as far as Tekufas are concerned, but the Machshava certainly, at the very least, it was created in Tishri. The Sifter Chaim quotes a piece of Ramchal, Moshe Chaim Lefapa in Derech Hashem, who points out to us that Rosh Hashanah is not only the historic day of the creation of the world. Ramchal writes as follows: the Yom Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Don Et Kol Olam Kulo Mechadosh. On this day, Rosh Hashanah judges the entire world. Et Kol Olam Kulo, sorry. Umechadesh Kol HaMetzius, and recreates the entire existence, the Bechina Fasibu HaKadosh, the Hain HaShon HaKadosh. The Ramchal says over here that, in fact, every single Rosh Hashanah, there's a new creation of the world. What does that mean, a new creation of the world? The sun was there on Rosh Hashanah, and the sun was there on Rosh Hashanah too. But it means that the world, as it will pertain to each person in the world at that time, that he be able, what his tafkid should be, what his role will be in the coming year, and the means that he will have to fulfill that role, that's the creation of the world, as it were, because we said man is the tachlis of the creation of the world. All that is decided on Rosh Hashanah. A mini creation of the world takes place, and that's the Sibuv HaChadosh, that there are 6,000 cycles in the world. There will be 6,000 cycles in the world. And each year, the new cycle is created on Rosh Hashanah. The Sibuv HaChadosh is created on Rosh Hashanah. Except that there's an underlying difference between the original day of creation and the creation that takes place every single year. The original creation, Olam Chesed Yibana, was created without any prejudgment. The Rebbeinu Shalom created the world because he wanted to create the world. In subsequent years, like the Ramchal says, the Yom Zakosh Baruch Hu Don Et Kol Olam Kulo, he first judges the world, and based on what this judgment results in, according to that, he's mechadish the world, the new cycle of the world. So we say, Zeh HaYom Tchilas Ma'asecho, Zikoroi LeYom Rishon. It's Tchilas Ma'asecho, but it's only a memory to Yom Rishon, it's not identical to Yom Rishon. Yom Rishon was a creation not based on prejudgment. And this is a Tchilas Ma'asecho, but it is based on a prejudgment. What is that's point number one. What is the criterion on which we are judged? What is the Rosh Hashanah actually looking for? So for that, we have to examine what is the purpose of the creation of the world. The purpose of the creation of the world, the Shir Shel Yom of Yom Shishi, is Hashem Moloch Geus Lovish. When man was created, it was, as he said, the Sakin Olam, the Malkus Shakai. Adon Olam Hashem Moloch Tzem Chorik Tzem Nivro. The Rosh Hashanah was the king before he created anything. And the Achrei Tichlei Sakoil, Levadim Lech Merah, he will remain king even when everything is gone. But Le'eis Na'asa V'chetz Tzei Koil Azai Melech Shmoy Nikro, he created the world so that Melech Shmoy Nikro, that there should be Yidin, so that people should be on this world and recognize Shmoy Nikro. A Melech Bola'om, the Rosh Hashanah wanted there be a creation who would recognize his Malchus. And that is the purpose of what creation is for. At the end of the Shira, where Klal Yisrael prophetically through Ruach HaKodesh saw everything that would be, they conclude the Pasuk, the last Pasuk in the Shira is Hashem Yimlech Olam Vora. That is the purpose of creation, to bring about the Malchus of the Rebbeinu Shalom, the sovereignty and the acceptance of the Malchus of the Rebbeinu Shalom. And therefore, if that is the purpose of creation, every single year the world is recreated, and the purpose of creation is to bring about Malchus Shamayim, so the yardstick of the judgment on which each year's recreation will be based. The argument is, how much have you done in the past year to bring about Malchus Shemayim? And how much are you going to, are you likely to bring about Malchus Shemayim in the coming year? And based on that, the Rebbeinu Shalom judges and gives each person his new role, new appointment for the coming year, and the means with which to fulfill that role. In order to clarify exactly how this works a little bit more, the Sister Chaim quotes the story of the world's first birthday party. That's the Torah's only birthday party. Yom Huledas is Torah. It's interesting what went on at that birthday party. It says that Paroi recalled his Sharamashkin, his butler, his Paroitim, his baker, by Yisra, Sroish Sharamashkin, the Sroish Paroitim, the Sroish Avodov, by Yosha, the Sharamashkin, to his toast, and the Paroitim follow. And it's a little bit difficult to understand. On the birthday party, it's perhaps the custom of some rulers to grant clemency to those who are deserving of it. So perhaps he should have pardoned the Sharamashkin. But why go and hang the Saroitim? I mean, that's what we'll wait till tomorrow. You know, why ruin the festivities by hanging the Saroitim? So, the Sister Chaim explains, this wasn't an ordinary birthday party. Paroi was the king of his time. In fact, he styled himself as actually being more than that. He styled himself as being actually a god. His birthday party was a celebration of his malchus, of his kingdom. So he says that when the kingdom of a sovereign is celebrated, it's not that on the day of his celebration he starts judging people, that's not appropriate, but it's an automatic consequence. If my sovereignty is being celebrated today, then automatically those who are doing their bit to further this sovereignty and to serve the Malchus, they get their reward, and those who are doing the contrary and are detracting from the Malchus of the king, they have to get their just desserts. It's an automatic consequence of a celebration of a king that it's brought into focus who is doing their bit to further the malchus of the king and who's doing their bit to detract from that malchus. And that's why when the Paroi's kingdom was being celebrated, automatically the Saramashim, who it was deemed hadn't committed that great a sin by allowing the fly to come in, was allowed back because he would continue to serve the king. The Saroitim, who had allowed the pebble to come into his bread, was seen as having detracted from him, and therefore he had to go. In fact, Meloshim by Yisro Es Roish, I'm just going to be Makata, by the Yisro Es Roish, the Rambam in Tashas Bamidbar, Yisro Es Roish, he explains that Sias Roish has a double expression, puts on measure. Sias Roish means an appointment, an important appointment, and Sias Roish also can mean Sav Reishay de Plum, off with his head. And the two things are not contradicting. In fact, they emanate from the same thing. The more important the person's appointment and his job and his function within the kingdom, so the greater his act of treason if he doesn't fulfill that function. And therefore his very Nesias Rosh can be the cause of his more literal Nesias Rosh. So he's trying to explain that that is what's taking place on Rosh Hashanah. I hope you're still with me. It's not like there are two things taking place on Rosh Hashanah. Number one, we say the Simloich, there should be a further from our time. Number two, the Rosh sits with his black robes and is judging everyone. No, there's only one thing that's taking place on Rosh Hashanah. Because the world is being recreated, and the purpose of creation is Malchus Shemayim, this is now, as it were, the anniversary of the Malchus Shemayim. Malchus Shemayim is now being celebrated. But if Malchus Shemayim is being celebrated, then automatically what's brought into focus is who in creation is furthering Malchus Shemayim? And who in creation hasn't been that good at serving Malchus Shemayim and perhaps needs to get his life altered somewhat in order that he should perhaps bring that out further by some sort of a reminder. It's the self-same Malchus Shemayim which is the judgment. To come back to why Imbul Rufon HaMalchus is a segula for being successful in Yom Hadin, it's because when a person stands with tefillah and he says, V'simu Esmat Hashem Levadecho, and he says all these sukkim of Malchus, what he's saying to the Rebbeinu Shloim is, when he says tefillah with Kavona, what he's saying is, I don't know whether I've done the greatest job in bringing it about till now, but what I really want is to bring about Malchus Shemayim. I'm asking the similar question, I want to be a part in bringing about this Malchus Shemayim. And everyone, when Rebbeinu Shloim sees that people are saying this, so he says, If that's what you want to bring about, Malchus Shemayim, that's what this judgment's all about. So if that's what you want to bring about, then fine, I'll give you a good year to be able to further bring that about. And it's a segula, therefore, to be zeicha b'din. So to come back very briefly to the three names, the more than three times, the three names of Rosh Hashanah, it begins, says the Sifat Chaim, with it being a Yom Teruah, which is what the Torah version says. The Ritual explains that trumpeting is something which one does at the coronation of a king. So on trumpet, it begins, it's a Yom Teruah, that's what the Torah calls it. It's a day of coronation of the king, it's a Yom Teruah. But that automatically brings into focus how have people brought about the furtherance of Mount Sinai, that brings into focus the Yom Adin. Based on what this judgment tells us about how each person has brought about the furtherance of Mount Sinai, based on the Yom Adin, the world then gets recreated, the Sibur HaKodesh gets recreated, and it becomes a Rosh Hashanah, it becomes now the beginning of the new Sibur HaKodesh of the next year, every person getting his tafkid. I'd like to just conclude my share with one further point, very briefly. As I said, all this maybe is a little bit a madrega, which some of us, well, I speak for myself anyway, you know, is a little bit far away, you know, definitely from our span. At the end of the day, what we want is, you know, our own personal welfare. And it says, one shouldn't daven for oneself on Rosh Hashanah. But there is a way of gauging whether, in fact, one's tefillah for oneself are intended in order to better serve the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. And that is, although the Torah says one shouldn't daven for oneself, it is very important, however, to bear in mind others. And to daven for others. Others meaning friends or relatives, others meaning people locally, others meaning even their destroy, others meaning brethren, who are perhaps far from religion altogether. To bear in mind and daven for others. How does that tie in with Malchus? A regular achas. We say that the malochim, malitzim, or makvishim, mamlichim, they crown the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. The chulon, the kabbalim aleim, o malchus shlein zeh mizeh. The noisim reshut, the noisim be'ahavo reshut, zeh lo zeh. The Perosh Eitz Yosef explains that if one, like the Nev Shechaim quoted, the soldier, if a person wants to truly serve the king, his purpose is, shinase machuse, the king's crown should be further elevated, it makes no difference to him who's going to be doing that. The malachim, they are mamlech Rebbeinu Shel Olam, want to be mamlech Rebbeinu Shel Olam. It doesn't have to be me that's mamlech Rebbeinu Shel Olam, if somebody else can do it better, then let him do it. So the noisim reshus del or there, because their purpose is oh mamlech Shemayim, so they're happy to allow somebody else to do the job as well as they, because the ultimate purpose is not that I do it, but that it be done. If the purpose of our tefillah, if we want to convince ourselves and the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, that when we daven for all the things that we will be davening for, what we want them for is that we should be better equipped to try to serve the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. The Menuchas HaNefesh v'Chovas HaDa'as, by davening for others, we demonstrate that really, as far as we're concerned, if somebody else has the health and the panosa and the Chovas HaDa'as and the Shalom Bayis and all that he needs, and he'll serve the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, that's okay with me too. And forget, I'd be happy that everyone should have what they need. I'm not in it just for myself. I'm happy. The nice thing is that other people benefit as well. When the Rebbeinu Shel Olam sees that that is how we style our tefillahs, then indeed the Rebbeinu Shel Olam sees that, like the Masil said at the beginning, that we establish thereby that the purpose of our tefillahs the entire year is in order to serve Malchus Shemayim. And like Sister Chaim says, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam sees that with the mamlechim, in Ulfana Malchus, we truly want that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam should be king over ourselves, over the entire world, and we daven for others, that they also should be able to bring this about. So then the Rebbeinu Shel Olam says, "Kedei sheyalad v'chemechem l'fona l'toiva." Then I see that that's your intention. With that, I will remember you l'toiva and give you a life of a ksiva, a chesima toiva, a life where you'll be able to serve the Rebbeinu Shel Olam with all that one needs in order to bring about and further Malchus Shemayim. I'd like to just change my hat. I'd like to just change my hat for a moment from the Torah way to this Tfilah initiative, which is being launched by the new Tfilah Foundation. That they're going to be booklets. Are you going to be giving out the booklets? I think that's now. they're going to be giving out these booklets, hundreds, thousands of children, moisters, every shul is going to be having these. And the idea initially is that during the first Mei Tshuva, this is from the Sefer Praying with Fire by Rabbi Heshi Kleinman, and the idea is that during the first Mei Tshuva, every day one should learn and go through one of the Eitzos which he discusses. In the context of the start of the day, the Torah way, it's been decided that perhaps Rosh Hashanah and Shabbos Shuvah and Yom Kippur there won't be a start of the day shir, but we perhaps begin today and every day following the start of the day shir, we will go through one day's chapter or mini chapter on tefillah, just for 5 minutes. So for those of you who are going to stay with me, I will now begin that today. It might be just slightly longer because we're going to go to the introduction. So if you have this booklet and you turn to page 10, I discussed in my share now what one should daven for. The focus of this little booklet is going to be on how one should daven, and specifically on kavanah. I won't take you word for word with me, but if you look at page 10, he begins by quoting how tefillah b'lo kavona is the guf b'lo neshama, this is the soul of one's tefillah. And he quotes the Pasuk in Tehillim, Korav Hashem l'chol korav l'chol asher yikra'u ve'emes. He doesn't quote this, but I'd like to tell you, I once heard from Dan Ehrenstroy, there seems to be a contradiction. It says, Korav Hashem l'chol korav, Hashem is close to all those who call him. But then it says, no, to all those who call him truthfully. So is it to everyone, or only l'chol asher yikra'u ve'emes? So he explains, imagine that you have a store, and the store says in a big sign outside, we serve all customers. And a guy comes in, a Chinaman, and he comes in, and he starts talking Chinese, I'm not going to pretend, he starts talking Chinese, and the fellow doesn't know what he's talking about. And he repeats his request in Chinese, and the store keeps doesn't know what he's talking about. And he takes him outside, and he says, fine, you serve all customers, why aren't you serving me? So the gentleman explains, I serve all customers, but I have to understand the language that you're speaking. Korav Hashem l'chol korav. Whoever calls him, he listens to. But there's a language. The language is sincerity. Otherwise, you're not speaking the same language. He goes on to quote the Balaturim that the word lev appears in the Torah 130 times. The word at the chesimus of Shemayna Esra. Baruch Atah Hashem Mogen Avraham. 5 words. Baruch Atah Hashem Mechayim Esra. Another 5 words. You add them all up, they're 113. Implying that the brachas which all these chesimus of Shemayna Esra bring down on a person, they come specifically when one devotes one's lev, when one puts one's heart in one's tefillah. In the chapter entitled Kavona, in the piece entitled Kavona Shemayna Esra, he explains that there are two basic kavonas which one has to have for one's tefillah. The first kavona is simply kavona before whom one is saying one's tefillah. The Gemara Sahed says, Shavit Hashem Yagi, some of them are down, one has to know one's standing in front of the Rabbanu Shalom, Melech Malach Halacha. And in fact, that is throughout the entire Shemayna Esra. And he brings in the bracket to the bottom, there's a disagreement between, he doesn't quote it, Rav Chaim, I think, Soloveitchik and Chazanish. Chaim says it's Ma'akov in Tzillah, and if you didn't have this kavona, you have to repeat your Shemayna Esra. Chazanish disagrees, but certainly in the first place, one has to have kavona before whom one is standing. Turning the page, he says the other essential of kavona is Perish HaMilas. One has to know what one is saying. And that, ideally too, should be throughout Shemayna Esra, but at the very least, it should be in the Brach of Ovis, in the first Brach of Shemayna Esra. And in the piece beginning, unlocking the gates, he quotes a very interesting Gemara. The Gemara says that in Yom Shechav Eich HaMikdash, Shari Tzila Ninalu, the gates of Tzila have been sealed. So he says, if someone ever asks the question, if they've been sealed, what's the point of davening? And furthermore, the Gemara teaches us that Tzila from Brahma, Om, Dim, Rum, Shalom, it ascends upwards. But where does it go to? If it can't get in, where does the Tzila go to? So he says, if someone ever continues that the Gemara says, Afafisha Shari Tzila Ninalu, Shari Dim Alay Ninalu, the gates of Tzila have not been shut. And when a person cries with this Tzila, it allows through not only that Tzila, but even the other Tzilas that were said without tears, they also get through. But who can bring himself and motivate himself truly to cry with one's Tzila? So he says a Mordic piece on page 13 here from the Yonatan Abishit, that the Yonatan Abishit writes that the word Bechi in the Matzah 32, the same as the word Lev. And davening with one's whole heart is equivalent to tears, the equivalent to crying, when one dances with one's whole heart, that is the Shari Zimo before whom the gates of heaven are never shut. Now, turning the page, on page 14, he says that now that we know what one is supposed to be mechavan and the importance of being mechavan tefillah, but the knowledge alone doesn't yet enable a person to be mechavan. We all know the davening of Tanzu Rabbein Shalom, we all know the importance of the tefillah, but that doesn't necessarily give us the motivation to actually be mechavan. And he quotes from Rabbi Yehuda Chosid that every person has to find and implement his own ideas and strategies in order to help him be mechavan tefillah. So, as we said, for the next 10 days, he will be presenting us in the Sefer with certain strategies. And I'd like to just, as I said, do the first day strategy on page 15, which is called quieting the mind. And he says over there that the first imperative for building concentration on prayer is to get the chatter, both internal and external, to stop. The person's mind is always occupied, his thoughts with internal chatter, some with external chatter, and you have to get that to stop before you begin davening. He quotes a story actually from a saying of Sanjuna, who advised people not to switch on the radio on their way to shul, because then you're likely to still think about what you just heard in the car. And it's important to, when you come to shul, have your mind free of anything which would distract you from your tefillah. So turning the page, he concludes that in Shulchan Aruch and Siman Tzadik, it actually says over there that when a person comes into shul, he should not begin his davening until he's entered shir shtei psochim. And that means, there's few psochim what it means, but it means also that you have to wait a bit of time before you begin your davening, the Shavura says, because otherwise you can't get properly in focus. You can't, for a shachris, maybe this is not all that relevant, because normally by, hopefully by the time you've put so many efforts, you've already realized you're in shul davening. But for mincha, you know, it can often happen, you know, you rush in for a mincha, and you know, you want to catch the tzidah, you know, and before, you know, before you thought what you're doing, you're ready at mechayam esim, and that's certainly not conducive to having problems with tzidah. One has to stop and orient oneself, even for a few moments before you begin tzidah shemayin esra, and that start davening before the Rebbein Shalom, and you can free my mind from the distractions from what I've been doing until now, in order to properly get into the tzidah. So just to recap, if you look on the left over here, he has the thing, what it's important to pause, to reorient oneself and clear one's head, and that helps the person embark upon tefillah with concentration, and distractions prior to praying should be avoided. May the Rebbein Shalom help that we should all be able to daven on these days with Kavanah Shleima, and our tefillah should be miskabel with Rachamim.